I'm Chuck Smeaton from the Royal Institution of Australia, and this is the Cosmos Briefing Podcast. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land wherever you are listening from today. I'd also like to pay my respects to elders past and present. As we build a clean energy future, solar energy research is diversifying. This is one of the focuses of the ARC Centre of Excellence for Exciton Science, a collaboration between Australian universities and industry that explores how light interacts with advanced materials. In particular, they study excitons, an excited state of matter that is crucial to semiconductors, which are used in light-based applications from lasers to solar cells. One group within the ARC is working on building better solar panels. Right now, typical solar cells only capture about 30% of the energy that lands on them. So part of this group's research is trying to identify cheaper and more efficient materials to make these cells. Today, we talk to Carl Bell, the lead researcher with a team at RMIT University and the ARC Centre of Excellence in Exciton Science in Melbourne. He is trying to find new candidate materials with these cells using an interesting approach, machine learning. Today's interview is hosted by Cosmos journalist Lauren Fuge.
I'm here with Carl Bell. Carl, you've just developed a machine learning program that does the job of a supercomputer on a normal PC or laptop. Could you tell me how you created it?
Sure thing. Every time a simulation is run on a supercomputer, it produces a bunch of output files containing information about that simulation. And sometimes the information in these files is converted into a database and shared online. We've written software that aggregates all this information produced by millions of simulations into our own database. We then took this database and fed it into a machine learning algorithm, which was an artificial neural network, and asked the algorithm to figure out the important relationships between the chemical composition and other properties that we were interested in. And after tuning the algorithm a little bit, we were able to save it and hook it up to web API so everyone else can use it.
Mm-hmm. So what exactly did you use the program for?
Yep. Simulations can be extraordinarily computationally expensive, and the process requires specialized hardware and can be quite time consuming to configure. So this means you need to be really careful with what you simulate, the choices of simulation. And this starts to limit the freedom to experiment, which often is needed to learn more or, you know, for those happy discoveries. We needed to find a way to reduce this time so we could exhaustively screen all sorts of materials quickly. So with that in mind, the program was initially developed to predict the band gap of a material. The width or size of a band gap defines how a material will act. So if a band gap is too large, then the material will be an insulator. And if there's no band gap, then it's a conductor. But there's another category where electrons can be encouraged to make their way across the band gap, and these materials are classified as semiconductors. And this is the class of materials that we're really interested in. Mm-hmm. Semiconductors are useful for a wide range of applications, from computer chips to solar panels. And predicting the size of a band gap will tell you how useful a material will be as a semiconductor, and how it may be used when manufactured. Mm-hmm. So finding these materials with a specific band gap, but different chemical composition might allow you to do certain things, like perhaps create a solar panel out of a new, different material that is much cheaper to source and easier to fabricate.
Mm-hmm. And how did this new program allow you to improve on the time and cost of making the calculations?
Well, typically running simulations is a very time-consuming process. You first need to figure out what simulation you want to run, and then you need to prepare the software for that simulation, and then you need to find the hardware that can run that software efficiently. So that generally means using a supercomputer. And finally, you need to manage the process of getting the hardware to run the software, which is not always an easy thing to do. This has involved using more software, of course, job scheduling and similar. And this part of the process can be quite flaky. So what you'd find is that your average garden variety physicist would prepare a bunch of simulations or prepare a bunch of files for a simulation and then pop it onto the queue and then say, right, time to go and get a sandwich or something else for lunch, and then head off and have lunch, come back and hope that the computer had picked up that item off the queue and processed it correctly. And often we find that the queue management part really lets down the simulation. So if the simulation actually makes it onto the supercomputer in the first place, it then can take quite a while to run. So with the software we've produced, we've really removed basically all that stuff. You don't need to have the supercomputer and you don't need to have the queue management or any of that kind of stuff. So we've removed the dependency and all that. And so the computation time has also been brought down to, you know, milliseconds as opposed to hours or days or even weeks.
Sounds really cool. It sounds like it's going to open up like a lot of pretty cool opportunities. But is this program only applicable to specific applications, or could it be used for other things as well?
Well, currently, we've focused on the area that we were really interested in. So that was semiconductors with bandgap, bandgap prediction. But we made the decision to label our software, or brand our software, if you like, as a platform, because we've built all the workflows to create new models efficiently. So currently the software can be used to make very accurate predictions on just a handful of different properties. So we're hoping that the wider scientific community and you know, maybe even industry will collaborate with us to enrich the platform so we can gather a wider audience and potentially grow the platform again. Theoretically, if you have a chemical composition as an input and you'd like to know something about that as your output, something that you'd like to predict, then we could build that, assuming we have the data.
So is this platform going to be available for other scientists to use as well?
Yes, absolutely. Anyone can go to our website right now and use any of the, we've got five models up there that are available. There's a web UI, you just whack some numbers in and you'll get a value out the other side. We've also built to industry standards, current industry standards, an API, web API that you can hook up to if you register at the website. Registration is free, and all we ask is that you follow the citing and attribution guidelines published on the website, but there's nothing onerous in there. We won't come and take your firstborn or anything like that. So the main thing is we're really keen to collaborate, and so we've tried to kind of grease the wheels there by creating this website and the API. So come along and use it.
Awesome. And what's next for your work? What are you going to get up to?
Well, I still have to finish writing my thesis. I'm certainly not getting distracted by, you know, guitars or anything like that. I'm definitely writing it. It's a bit of a juggle at the moment with I'm working full time as well. But after that, I'm hoping to take a break and maybe discover a meal between breakfast and brunch. And after that, I'll hopefully do a bit more study.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what's next for this particular line of research?
The next thing for this particular line of research is probably calculating or predicting effective mass. We've done a bunch of calculations for effective mass, and so we can calculate effective mass now for a range of compounds using parabolic dispersion. I think we've got probably 25 to 30,000 calculations in our data set now, which is pretty large and certainly the largest data set that I'm currently aware of. So it'd be really great to build another machine learning model that can predict that. It can be a bit tricky to obtain effective mass calculations. So I think that'd be a really nice one to work on next.
Great. Well, best of luck with that, Carl, and thank you so much for having a chat with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode. Remember that you can head to cosmosmagazine.com via the link in the description for more great content. You can also subscribe to Cosmos Magazine, Australia's only science print magazine, and Cosmos Weekly, our online subscription-based deep dive into the biggest issues. You can watch and listen to all our Cosmos briefings via the link that you'll also find in the description. And remember, if you support science and its communication, please support our work at the Royal Institution of Australia. I'm Chuck Smeaton. Today's interview was hosted by Lauren Fuge, and our executive producer is Catherine Roberts. Thank you.